B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand are live at Gillette Stadium for Training Camp 2022, presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's home for New England Patriots football. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. Training camp day number one for the Patriots. Practice in the books. This hour training camp coverage is brought to you by United Construction. You may have seen some pictures by now, or you may have heard us talking about it earlier, but there were a number of players on the field that were wearing a protective covering on their helmet today. You're definitely going to see this in video of today's training camp practice or photos, whatever you catch up on at some point. And we had some people asking, what are those things? Those are guardian caps. And starting with this NFL training camp season, not just the Patriots, but every NFL team is required now, from now until through the second preseason game, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, tight ends, linebackers, all must wear those on their helmets.
Okay.
Those are not by choice anymore. Those are not voluntary additions to their helmets. Those are mandatory for those players. They're made by guardian caps, and you're going to see a lot of those across the league. The Patriots have these sort of off-white ones they are wearing. Josh Uche said, looks like a Q-tip on our head.
Yeah, pretty much does.
But he did say that he notices no difference when he has it on.
Yeah.
With his helmet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure it's very lightweight.
Didn't bother
tackified.
Him at all.
Probably tackified. Sticks right on there. Well, it'll keep the head people happy.
Well, it's got Velcro straps that hold it on. Nice. It goes through the face mask.
Ooh.
In the front. Sort of loop it through, and then you put it on.
That was developed for the space program, that Velcro.
Was it?
That's what they say. That and Tang.
Is that a joke?
I don't know.
That's from what movie?
The Velcro thing. I think that was...
It's a series of loops and hooks. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so that's what's going on with those. That's why those players are wearing those, to try and reduce concussions.
Good.
In the sport.
All right.
At this time of year. I don't know that concussions have been a major problem in... This is what I don't understand about it. I think it's great that they're doing it. Why are you doing it for the first 2 weeks of training camp? That feels to me like the time that you're not going to have a lot of concussions. And maybe they have data. Maybe I'm just talking out of my ass and I don't know what I'm talking about. But to me, it feels like the issues that we always see at the start of training camp, so, are Achilles and knees.
Muscle, soft tissue.
And yes, those types of things. The concussions,
hammies,
I think are most likely to happen in games, which we all know.
Yeah.
And also may happen a little bit deeper into training camp practices. I don't feel like the first week or two of training camp are when you get the most physical practices. Maybe I'm wrong, but
no,
years ago it would make all the sense in the world. So you remember when you were in training camp, day two you get guys bashing each other's heads in.
We hit twice a day.
Doing drills twice a day.
Twice a day.
And you don't have that anymore. So I think it's great that they're doing it. I would just say,
you don't have that ringing in the ears either anymore, really.
Why not mandate it for all practices? Why does it matter that it's the first 2 weeks of training camp?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason they wouldn't wear them in a game is why? Because they look silly?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think they look ridiculous, yeah.
And so, I mean, you'd have to, like, start to question, well, if you're going to wear them now, why not?
What do you got, Hardy? What are you
looking at? Try and figure out how to wear those in a game?
Yeah. This guy's looking at something here.
But it doesn't look good, so they won't wear them in a game. What are you trying to figure out?
Well, it's not a question of, like, looking good, but, you know, as, like, unencumbersome as they might look, I'm sure they do feel different, and it behaves differently if you're trying to run. There's a guy down there sitting crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, that's the guy I'm talking about. I asked Capello who this guy was.
Where is he?
This guy with long hair down here. He's got long blonde hair.
Icky's
like Chase Winovich.
USA Tour 2022.
He got a one-on-one with Mac Jones. He got one-on-one with all these.
He did have like, a one-on-one with Mac Jones.
It's like some kind of like.
Is this a joke?
Euro like a, hippie.
Oh, was this his like YouTube guy or thing? Or?
I don't know, but it does have a feel of like a like some kind of a.
Nickelodeon. A
YouTube,
thing.
TikToker, I don't know, Scandinavian. What's, Nickelodeon.
What does the sign say about his training camp tour?
I couldn't hear.
It says training camp tour 2022, but what does it say?
To follow football.
It looks like it says RAN.
Well, now it's
RAN. What's RAN?
RAN. RAN.
I don't know. Maybe it's a different language. But he's sitting down on the field, and again, it's you know he looks like a character from Lord of the Rings or something. I don't know. It's weirding me out.
Well, I got weirded out earlier. Yeah, I'm like, why is this guy getting all these?
That's exactly the type of guy that Capello would obviously have a problem
right.
with. And I would think he could go down there and either shoo him away right. or at the very least get the story out of
right.
him.
Like, hey, buddy, cut your hair. Okay. What do you do? $5 haircut. Take it all. Summertime. Yeah.
But I'm so distracted by this guy.
See Capello with Dennis with like their hard hats on. They went over to the new building.
I did.
You have to wear hard hats there, huh?
Well,
that must be really early safe. Construction stages.
OSHA.
Like, we're supposed to be in there next week.
Oh, we're not going to be there next week.
Oh, come on. Stop it.
We're going to be here next week.
Capello said no chance.
You practice next week.
Yeah. We're fine. That's
I'll be here a couple days next week.
Yeah, that's interesting. And the sign keeps blowing over in the wind.
Yeah. Windy.
It's a very low budget production.
Humidity got cut today, boy.
Oh, it's a beautiful day.
It feels great.
If you were here to watch practice today, you got a great day.
You got a gem. Absolute gem.
They're watering the field now. Going to water that seed in. So
gotta.
I think we may have escaped the sucking and the blowing today.
I was told.
I can't imagine that you would plant seed and then blow it.
They have in years past, which was insane.
You would not want to.
Which was completely insane.
But they throw a step on it. Like,
I just the logic behind it was not there.
Right.
The planting and then the blowing. It just
doesn't make a ton of sense.
No. I was told no batteries this year.
Did you get talked to?
Got talked to.
Why?
You guys don't have any cute radio stunts like throwing batteries. We don't want anybody to get hurt.
Who said that?
Security down there.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they're probably just joking.
Wasn't that like 4 years ago?
It
was several years ago. Nobody got hurt.
A long time ago. We made sure the entire premises was empty before we did it.
I only almost killed Hardy.
But I was the only one who almost got hurt.
You should have been wearing a hard hat that day.
Yeah.
What do you think it really would have felt like, though?
That would have been a bad workplace accident to try and explain.
I mean,
well, how did you get this hole in your head? Well, you see,
I taped 4 AA batteries together
because you said you could stand up here on the red level
easily
and throw it off the balcony through the uprights
of
the practice field there. And I believe I dismissed it and said there's no way you could do that. And I went down there to gauge it as it was happening. We really didn't think that one through because.
Right.
Accuracy, who knows what it was going to be, and I never really saw it once you left your hand.
You can't really grip it. And I knew it came out weird.
I think the injury could have ranged anywhere from "ow, that hurt" to death. I think it could have been
sounds about right.
Anywhere on the spectrum. You know, if it hits you just right behind, like in the temple, am I right? Turn you off like a switch. Yeah, done. That's it.
Boom.
And we would have had it
what
all
a story,
on TV.
Though.
All on TV, though.
What a story.
You would have been able to document it. Yeah,
you would have been sitting right here today talking about it.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to go to the hospital and say that one didn't happen
at
work.
Right. Who would have been sitting here with it instead of him? Like, who would have been our guy? Who would we elevate?
Well, you have to go back 4 years. Who would have been primed to take that role and
Sarge.
Did you catch...
Did
you catch Felger's interview in the Nantucket Daily or whatever it's called?
What happened?
Was asked to name the co-host he would most like to work with, if not Maz.
Oh, and what did you say?
Adam Jones.
Wow.
Because he's so negative, he would make Felger look good.
That's funny.
Then he brings a ton of material, and he's so negative that he'd make me look good.
Oh, my God.
So
did Maz do that 28-5 game?
Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, he did.
I didn't watch that one.
You know what? So much credit to Maz on the calls of those games. He said everything that you would want him to say, and he didn't hold back. He said...
It doesn't matter at this point.
Well, no, he said at this point, it's an embarrassment.
Good.
He said it on the broadcast. He said, this is an embarrassment, and I think he may have even said you're looking at a team that has quit, you know, at least on this game. But he did. He called it an embarrassment and, you know, something that was not worthy of the team, of the fans, of anyone involved. And that's what it was. I mean, 28-5.
Yeah.
Good grief.
It's too bad it wasn't
28-3.
28-6. Then you could say 6-28.
Yeah.
Kick Don't say it.
Right.
Oh, that sounds too bad. I was waiting for that sixth run in that game.
So Jones and I did a show together yesterday, and he said something that has affected me in a very personal and poignant way.
What is it?
We're not doing this, are we?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
We don't have to rehash this, do we?
Rehash it, please.
Shut up.
You don't even know what I'm going to say, T-Bone.
Yes,
I don't even know. You don't even know, T-Bone.
I was here.
What am I going to say?
Stop judging me.
That... Jones told me I was very judgy and that I, you know, was overly judgmental just as a, you know, as a person. And T-Bone immediately backed him up on it. And T-Bone has told me this for years, but who listens to T-Bone? What do I care? You know,
nobody.
That's
a little bit judgy.
That's just right. And I took stock of my life as I was drifting off to sleep last night.
No, you didn't. You probably judged those two for having said it about you.
If Adam Jones tells you you're a bad person...
He didn't say you're a bad person. He just said you're overly judgmental.
If Adam Jones is pointing out your personality and character flaws, what do you
take? That's all he does, though.
What's wrong with being judgmental?
But not with his friends and coworkers. I think he's very. I think he's very accepting. But me, he took time to really tell me about some issues, and I have decided to try and be less judgmental. Mm. I've decided. I said,
when are you going
to
start?
That was starting. Now. Right now.
Okay. Let us know how that goes.
Okay. You tell me when I'm being too judgy.
Okay. We will. We'll keep you in check on that. I do want to get to David Ortiz's Hall of Fame speech and his latest venture, which was announced today.
Oh, boy.
We will get to that after this on Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium.
Upon further review, Scott has the best battery toss in the business.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No one gets you into training camp like we do. Live from Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's home for New England Patriots football. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How long have we been back? I like this
about
song.
About a minute and a half. We messed up.
Impossible.
T-Bone's angry. I apologize, T-Bone, but we're back. Sorry.
So I had to go get rice, shrimp, pulled pork,
what are those? I don't know. Try it. I think it's something.
There's no
raw.
Food.
There's something together.
No food here today. We were informed there's no food here today. Zoe came back with a plate of like a Chinese buffet.
What do you think that is?
It's a spring roll.
Some sort of spring roll. Try it.
But it's not. Chinese food. This is
Mexican, you think?
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of everything.
Well, maybe it's a taquito.
Is it a fusion type of meal?
I think it's fusion. I think everybody's eating type of meal.
Beetle was somewhere else. I was sitting here talking about U.S. Open.
We were talking about dogs.
And
a conversation about dogs.
And meanwhile,
Hardy would have loved to have jumped in on.
T-Bone is losing his mind because we were back on the air and we didn't know it. So I apologize, Tom. It seemed like maybe that was a short break. But it's
a short break.
It's no excuse for us for not being here to do our jobs.
Average break.
Okay. Very good.
I'm just trying to diffuse and not be judgy.
Just don't be judgmental. Two for a week.
I don't like this. I like you better when you're judgy.
I'll still be judgy with you and Tyler. How's that?
That's fine.
Okay.
So David Ortiz has a new product out, huh?
Well, let's get to start first with his Hall of Fame speech. What'd you make of it?
I thought he was good.
I didn't see
his love for Boston.
Did you watch it today?
Yeah.
I watched it.
You should have started
when I watched it.
Did you see it?
No. I didn't see it live. I watched it.
I watched it when they were in a rain delay for the first game against the Guardians. That's when I watched it. And I thought it was very good. It was not the 30-minute marathon that someone had made it out to be. I think it was about a 15-minute speech.
I think it was 18 minutes is what it clocked in on.
Yeah, it's
and watching it, you know, I was, you know, it was kind of on in the background, but I was listening to it and, you know, paying attention to it. I thought he did a really good job.
I thought he did a great job.
Yeah.
And so many of those speeches suck.
They do.
But they're so bad.
He likes it here.
The one that we've always mocked is the Randy Johnson. I mean, that is the Randy Johnson's Hall of Fame speech is the gold standard of terrible speeches.
I was just going to say the gold standard for the worst.
Yeah.
It's the lead standard.
And Ortiz, I felt like everything Ortiz said in the speech was with a purpose. Like, there wasn't just this laundry list of people that he just ran down.
No.
Throughout the course of the 18 minutes, there were all kinds of people getting named throughout the 18 minutes. And he didn't tell any long, stupid stories. He had some quick ones in there that were great. I thought the one with Grady Little was really good. He told a story about when he was first with the Red Sox in a spring training game against his old team, against the Twins. He moved the runner over, and he thought he was going to go back to the dugout and get congratulated, you know, get the high five of like, yeah, all right, that way to go, way to keep.
He said, keep it alive.
Grady Little pulled him aside and said, hey, big boy, you're not here to move the runners along. You're here to get them all home. And he said, and that was that. And it was like, I thought that was a great.
Yeah,
he told the story within 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? He was quick. He kept it moving. He was flipping back and forth between English and Spanish. He's obviously a very lively guy. It was excellent. And I think most Hall of Fame speeches are garbage. Even some of my
journey in baseball lasted 44 years.
Oh, God.
I started when I was 7 years old, playing Little League Baseball in Livermore, California, a small little town.
Oh, I don't care.
Or was it?
After my time in Livermore, California was over, it was a decision I had to make.
What
was it?
I got drafted by the Atlanta Braves, and I also had an opportunity to go to college.
All right, stop.
I chose to go to college and further my education. I played for the legendary baseball coach Rod Dedeo at USC.
By the way, wait, we said this at the time. It sounds like he's reading his own Wikipedia entry.
Yeah. I know. But there's so many other guys that just don't have. Even the guys that have some, you know, sort of a persona and are super popular, Ken Griffey Jr., his Hall of Fame speech was not great. It was not great. Had a heartfelt thank you to his dad in there that was good, but it wasn't a great speech.
Yeah. But you're right.
So many of them are just like that. They're just.
You're right, Beetle. He bounced around, and he either had a lot of help and a lot of practice, or he is just a naturally gifted speaker, speechwriter, and storyteller, probably a bit of both. Had someone work on it with him because he did. He bounced around in a way that didn't make it feel like a, you know, an eighth grader up there delivering their first five paragraph essay in speech form. You know, it was not like that. He mentioned he had a story early on. He mentioned a couple of names. He did a bit of a roll call of players. The stuff he said about Kirby Puckett was fantastic. I really thought he did a very good job and the bouncing between English and Spanish, I don't think it was off-putting to you know, those who only speak one or the other. You know, like, I don't speak Spanish, but when he got into the Spanish stuff and you hear the crowd reacting to it, I'm like, this is really good.
Yeah.
He did a really good job. Good
turnout from the Dominican, too.
It seemed like it, yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of people there, I think Roche said, what, over 35,000 plus. Roche was all the festivities. He went to every tent party there. So it's like he's like a pig in you-know-what there for Dan Roche. But I felt like he loves Boston. And that the Boston fans are different, I think, than it's like New York, man. You love your teams. You hate when your guys go. You hate when your guys retire and they sort of turn their back on you. He will never turn his back on his city. I think he feels very connected to Boston. He finished career here. He loves it here. Obviously, I mean, they helped him a lot, you know, to save his life at the end to get him out of after he got shot. But, yeah, he's it's him and Brady for me, like, during this run, this 20-plus year run of who's the most clutch guy, who's the – one guy you want to hear talk, you know, when they retire, Tim and Tom.
So, yeah, and I'm glad you brought all this together because that was one of my points coming out of this, which was he spoke so glowingly of Boston and said, Boston, I'll always be there for you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going anywhere. You know, this is still part of big part of my life is Boston. And I just thought to myself, one, I've always said this about Ortiz. He never got – it sounds crazy to say this, so bear with me for a moment. He never got his full due from Boston. And I mean that in the sense that he was never held up to the way Brady was when Brady was here. Like, it should, those guys should be viewed as equals. And I feel like everybody puts Brady way ahead of Ortiz, and that's the only reason why I think he never got, like, his full due. Obviously, Boston loves Ortiz. But
what are you talking about?
I just feel like those guys are a lot closer than they ever got, you know, sort of viewed by a lot of people here. I've been saying it for years. It's not a new take. It's not revisionist history. Zoe, you know I've been saying this for a long time.
I think fans go nuts for the guy.
I think they do, but I don't think
feel disrespect there.
I don't feel like he gets the same recognition as for how great he truly is in the history of his franchise, in the history of his sport.
He's also DH. Was an everyday player. You know,
who's the best?
Well, but
I know that. I'm not trying to argue. I love these two. That's huge, it for me, those two guys.
That's a huge component of it, though. You've got a guy out there for every single snap on the offense leading your team
back to one
to Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl, as opposed to a guy whose only job was to go out there and hit, and he did a great
job. Who's the best Patriots player of all time?
Tom Brady.
Who's the best Red Sox player of all time?
That's a long conversation.
What do you value? What do you value? Do you value Ted Williams hitting .406, or do you value the guy?
I want to say Pedro. I want to say Ortiz.
Who, in his Hall of Fame speech, described what it was that he was when he said, and he was so humble this entire week. He repeatedly went out of his way to say, "I'm not who I am without all my teammates that I had along the way. You don't understand. I'm only a small part of who David Ortiz became because I wouldn't have been able to do this without the great teammates and the great teams that I played on." And to a large degree, he's right, because that's obviously the case in baseball. You can't win on your own. You can't just do it by yourself. But he was sort of the glue that brought all that thing together, talking about how there are a lot of teams where the bullpen guys and the pitchers are their thing, and the infielders are their group, and the outfielders are their group. He said, when I played, I always made sure we were all one. We were all together. We were all that thing. I go back to, remember in 2013, him in the dugout? Remember him rallying the team in the dugout?
Yeah, screaming.
Do you remember
yelling.
That?
Yep.
How many guys have you seen do that in baseball, period, who sort of have that gravitas to do that with a team?
Yeah, but he's gotten plenty of recognition for that. They were naming streets and bridges after him.
They
did. But
they
didn't
do it for Brady. You took all his pictures down here.
But you want him somehow thought of as in lockstep with Brady in terms of their importance to their
franchise.
No. I can't.
He's on Beetle Island on that one.
And I'm not.
You think 04 happens without David Ortiz?
A lot of things.
No shot.
Okay, do you think any of the six Super Bowls happen without Tom Brady?
No, I'm telling you they're equals. I'm not telling you that one's not better than the
other. There's one, and there's six. That's your difference.
Three and six.
You've got six championships, and if you want to chalk up, and I'll even give you, was it 13?
13 sucked.
Not for David Ortiz. Wasn't that the year where he hit 700 in the World Series?
688, I believe.
Okay.
688.
But I'll give you a couple of those, but that's what you're saying. They're equal.
No. I just think Ortiz should get a lot more people saying, oh, yeah, he's the best Red Sox player of all time. The way that they automatically say it about Brady.
Okay.
That's all. And he doesn't get that. He doesn't get that when it comes to the Red
Sox. There's a pause. You're right.
As it relates to his franchise and where his place is in history of his respective sport. I get your argument. I agree with it. Of course, it's harder to win 6 Super Bowls as a quarterback than it is. I get it. You're all right. You're not wrong on that. I'm just saying in terms of the level of respect in his place in history with his team, he doesn't get it the way Brady does with the Patriots.
I'm sorry.
Brady deserves it.
But it's
obviously.
And look, by virtue of the game, you can only play offense or defense in football. But it's for when you're talking about baseball players, it's just offense. That's all he was allowed to do, able to do, whatever, for Ortiz. So when you want to be thought
of... They don't put guys in the Hall of Fame for defense anymore. Once upon a time, maybe. Ozzie Smith is in the Hall of Fame.
But
they don't put him in for defense anymore.
But if you can be both, that would help the argument. And he couldn't be both. He was just a hitter. He was a designated hitter, and he was the greatest designated hitter and the first one to go in on the first ballot and all that stuff. I'm not taking anything away from him.
He could have played a far better first base than anyone the Red Sox have put out there this year.
Sure could have.
I mean, David Ortiz could play first base.
No, he couldn't. The feet.
Later in his career.
He got the bad feet.
But he could have played first base when he first got. He played a decent first base.
Probably.
He wasn't a bad first baseman.
Bad at all.
He surprised everyone in 2004 in the World Series how good he played.
Yeah. St. Louis, he was good in that series.
Yeah. He was very, very good, but he's not Tom Brady. And that's not
I said for his team, for his sport, he's the baseball equivalent of a Tom Brady. He is.
Well, he was the face of the franchise for many years, and he still is. So I don't know what else you want.
There's something to that. So,
what else do you want? What has Tom Brady gotten in terms of recognition that David Ortiz hasn't gotten?
The business of David Ortiz. You mentioned his venture that he's getting into today. That's not all he's doing. Michael Silverman had a great story on this on Big Poppy going back a couple of days and some of the money that he's making at this point in time. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Stadium.
Touchdown, Patriots!
It's New England Patriots Training Camp 2022, presented by Safety Insurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Also brought to you by United Construction and Wind Waste Innovations. Now from the practice field, Scott Zolak and Mark Bertrand.
I started when I was 7 years old, playing Little League Baseball in Livermore, California, a small little town.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner.
After my time in Livermore, California was over, it was a decision I had to make.
So were there two of us? There were two of us in the Wolf Pack. I was alone first in the pack, and then Doug joined in later.
Those are some very memorable moments there in Arizona.
I guess that's why they call it Sin City.
That's just us continuing to poke fun at an old Hall of Fame speech from Randy Johnson. David Ortiz today, as you've heard Hardy say many times, is debuting a new line of cannabis products.
Yep. Nice.
Saying he has been using cannabis in his life to help stress levels, physical ailments, anxiety. Saying, once I embraced the flow of the flower, everything changed.
Oh, boy.
This is the dawning of the age.
This is going to be one groovy press conference today. This is going to be something else.
I just went to the website for Poppy Can. That's obviously with two N's. And they've got a product line of sweet sluggers. Rolled locally in Fitchburg at a state-of-the-art facility. Poppy Sweet Sluggers use only the choicest, that's a word? Choicest flower from some of David's favorite strains. Mm. The Sweet Sluggers 3-pack contains 3 1-gram blunts.
They actually say blunt?
Yes. Well, I mean, that is a thing. It's 1-gram blunts made with freshly ground whole flour, packed full of natural and... Look at how long this sounds. All right, I'm done. Ortiz is now putting out a cannabis line. I'm sure that will do well. Michael Silverman had a story in the Globe dated 5 days ago. It says, now it's boom time. The business of being David Ortiz was flourishing before his election to the Hall of Fame. But now, since the announcement, his appearance and signing fees have jumped 20 to 30%. His list of regional and national endorsement partners has grown to 10. His licensing deals to 8. And he has a long-term contract with Fox Sports and Fox Bet that ensures Big Poppy's booming laugh, sartorial flair, and baseball insights will be seen and heard from coast to coast, especially in New England, for years to come.
I mean, I don't know how, if you're not part of a major marketing company, that you didn't watch that Dunkin' Donuts commercial of him and Gronkowski and say, boy, we want to attach ourselves to these two guys because they know how to move product. That summertime commercial was one of the worst commercials I think we've ever seen. It was
I didn't mind it.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
T-Bone, you got to pull that sucker up, man. Like, their acting, it was really, really good.
You're being very judgy.
Really good. See, now you're trying to reverse your judgment.
No, I didn't mind those. But look, if you're going to use guys for marketing, David Ortiz. I mean, Beatle was just talking about
him. He's one of the best.
Everybody
knows beloved, his face.
Everybody knows who he is. Still the face of the team.
It's Big Puppy.
Right. And if it's something that he truly actually does care about, which it sounds like he does, this makes a lot of sense. Zoe brought up the point, too. What do you think the odds are that they purposely schedule this this big unveiling today in Cambridge at 4 o'clock so that they could talk about the product for, say, 20 minutes or so, and then have
smoke one of your favorite poppy butts.
He was going to get it without you telling him. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll schedule it for 4 o'clock. We will conclude 20 minutes later.
Right. Oh.
And then we'll hand out product for everyone to try.
Pretty good idea.
Damn good idea. Got to do it at 4, right?
So add this to his list. His list of companies that he is now pitching for: MasterCard, Dunkin', Zenni Optical, summertime, FTX, Lone Depot, Eternal Health, Eastern Bank, DirecTV. I mean, this list goes on and on. He's raking it in endorsements.
It's blown up, so.
Yeah. He's making millions of dollars.
Good for him.
Millions of dollars.
Hell of a career. Should.
See, I like this. It's purposely bad.
It's cute.
You're
right. It's intentionally bad.
It's intentionally bad.
Let's pick two guys that have no concept of tone.
With Gronk, you never know, though.
Oh, please.
So, you know what I would... Bad. And then this brings me back to another big point that David Ortiz, despite whatever the hell happened to him off the field since his career ended and what happened with the shooting in the Dominican and whatever it was that was going on there, he has remained ridiculously likable.
Yes.
More so than maybe anybody of this era in Boston sports. He's right there with Pedro. Pedro's... Everybody loves that guy.
Yeah.
It's Pedro and Ortiz. The two most lovable figures of an incredible run in Boston sports.
Yeah, I'd say Ortiz more so than Pedro.
They've got it all. They've got personality. They've got flair. They're out there pitching these products. They're still very present. You're not going to get that with Brady or Gronk. Or probably any of the Bruins guys.
Brady's so corporate now.
And the Red Sox haven't had anybody like him since. Not that that happens frequently, but...
You just mentioned the likability in all the years that Ortiz was here. And not to backtrack, but during his speech, Beatle, one of the first things he mentioned was the traveling secretary, Jack McCormick.
Oh, God. That man.
And I'm like, good for him for, like... Given that guy, and he spoke about him, you know, like teaching him, you know, a lot about, you know, being in the league and on the team and all the help that he gave him. I'm thinking, like, wow, direct opposition to, I don't know, maybe somebody who actually pushed him over in the clubhouse because he didn't get enough tickets for him and his family for a game. Like, oh, Manny. Oh.
Yeah.
And here's David, like calling him out, like, among the first names he mentions.
Yeah.
Your traveling secretary, Jack McCormick. Yeah. I'm like, good for Bobby, good for Jack. Oh, that was an unfortunate incident.
get him his tickets.
That's what happens, man. Find a couple of douchebags to play with, and they just elevate the way you look. Because, man, I can't look any worse than that guy.
So Boston, to some degree, lacks superstars, right?
Yeah,
right
well,
now? Who's a superstar
right now? Well, the only one that you could think about in terms of like a crossover guy who maybe could have held on to that, you know, that cachet and the goodwill and stuff, I think it'd be Paul Pierce, maybe, from like that era, a guy who was like that, you know, like recognizable and embraced. But how often do you see Paul Pierce around Boston?
Yeah, you see him here enough, but I mean, he's just not. He's not
it's
Ortiz.
He's not David Ortiz.
He's not one of those guys.
He's not David Ortiz.
So I think this transitions us to something else, and that is, could there be another real bona fide superstar heading to Boston in Kevin Durant? Because that would instantly make he'd be the biggest sports star in town if the Celtics got Kevin Durant. Are they going to get Kevin Durant? What do we think about those rumors? We'll get into that. Your call's coming up as well here on Zolak and Bertrand from training camp. This hour of coverage brought to you by United Construction.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand are live at Gillette Stadium for Training Camp 2022, presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's home for New England Patriots football. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So the Celtics talking to the Nets about maybe getting Durant.
I don't make anything of it. I just play basketball.
Do you have a dream team?
To play on? If St. Louis had a team, that'd be the team I would play.
Just what do you think of playing with Kevin?
I mean, I played with him during the Olympics, obviously. You know, it's a great player. But that's not my decision, you know. I love our team. I love the guys that we got. I don't know if that report is true or not.
Paul Pierce said you guys don't have to do anything.
If we don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
No, we got two new pieces. I love our team, right? Like I said, I just go out there and play with my teammates. So that's not really, I don't put that hat on to make decisions.
Did you have any reaction to the reports that Jalen Brown was going
to do? I don't believe everything I see on TV. I didn't see some shit about me that was a lie. So you never really know what is true and what's not true.
That is Jason Tatum being questioned about the rumors and reports of trade talks between the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. He was responding to those questions as part of attending a premiere for a Showtime documentary called Point Gods. And the reporters who were there went right after him on the Durant rumors. And he did a good job of dodging it, saying he loves his team, he loves the guys that they have. That, you know, yeah, he played with Durant in the Olympics, but what are you going to do?
He didn't take it personal to Jaylen Brown, though. Like, it's not a resounding, oh, man, you know what? You're not trading my boy. You're not trading my guy, man. We've been building this too long together. Hey, I just show up and play, man. I don't make those decisions. I wanted more of defending of Brown.
I would not expect him to do that. I'm surprised you have that expectation of him.
If you love the situation, like, why we blow it up? We've been doing this for 4 years. Not, I just go out and play. I don't make decisions like that.
Because then what happens if they trade away Jaylen Brown and he doesn't really care?
He's supposed to act outraged?
I don't know.
Then
all this stuff we've been hearing about how great it's been for 5 years is all false then. False narrative.
What do you mean great it is? Maybe it is great. Maybe
they all together. It's about the future. Hold on. It's about the youth.
Hold on. Can't both be true?
Guys love each other.
I like Jaylen Brown. We play well together. We're on the same team. We got no issues with each other. Oh, but
it just felt like he pushed back to the table.
If a guy gets traded, isn't that just the business?
I mean, it's his team, man.
Isn't that what it is?
It's his team. It's the way this NBA works. He just seems like he pushed back from the table for the comments a little bit. That's all. Just thought he would defend Jaylen Brown. Like, a lot of rumors out there right now. He's my guy. Look where we got to.
Okay.
We learned from that. We want to get back there together. We want to do this together.
Shams and Woj had the reports going back a few days now.
But you're talking about Kevin Durant, though. I mean, like, go ahead.
What do you make of the reports?
I think they're real. Look at the timing of when they came out. What, like 2:45 in the morning? And it's Shams and Woj. Yeah, two of the best writers. Like, it'd be like Rap Sheet and Schefter coming out with a football bomb.
So why?
You would believe them.
Why is it out there?
Because I think Brooklyn needs to decide what the hell they want to do. And I think the Celtics may not be done yet.
Who do you think leaked it?
It's a good question.
It's Brooklyn.
It's got to be Brooklyn.
Brooklyn,
right?
Leaked it. The Celtics didn't leak
Celtics
this.
Celtics don't look good if they
Celtics have
it.
Nothing to gain by right. leaking this out there. They did not leak this.
Right.
The Nets do. They could be shopping for a better offer.
Right.
They could be putting it out there publicly, which I think this is how it went.
Hey, guys, here's what we got. We said no, so get better than what the Celtics offered.
They put it out there that the Celtics had offered them Jaylen Brown. And so
and Derek
White. I bet the fact that they got offered Derek White and Jaylen Brown has them thinking, well, damn, if we can get an offer that... And by the way, I think that's a good offer. Do you think it's a good offer?
Yes.
Guy who doesn't want to play for your team anymore? What are you going to do come September, October, when you don't have him traded yet and you have a disgruntled NBA superstar? We know how that ends. They get traded. Like, we all know he's going to get traded. You don't have a great position if you're Brooklyn right now. And someone offers you a really good young player, and you get offered another, you know, secondary piece who's a good depth piece. You're thinking to yourself, well, if this is the offer, what else? What else can we get? And they obviously are overrating their asset, and they're trying to squeeze a better offer out of someone.
And if you believe Brian Windhorst, that this was the conversation that was had weeks ago.
I do believe Brian Windhorst on that.
I don't blame Brooklyn for not jumping all over it and saying, that's a good offer. We should take that for every reason that you just said, because it was still early on. I think the market is softer for Kevin Durant than what they expected. So now after a few weeks, and there hasn't been too much movement on it, now you put the story out there.
You're trying to create movement.
And now you're trying to create movement and regenerate some interest and see what you can get going.
Brian Windhorst is right simply because this is the time of year where the NBA shuts down.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything. Everyone goes on vacation. They have this window of opportunity. After summer league, they go on vacation and they have their time off, and the league basically has a big summer shutdown. So I believe him. I think he's probably right, and I believe that these talks were old, but I also believe this. If the Celtics have gotten that serious about going after Durant, and that's the best offer Brooklyn's had so far because they're putting it out there through the press, you better start warming up to the idea that Kevin Durant is a Celtic come the start of the season. I think there's a lot of smoke here.
And as far
I think there's a decent possibility that this deal does get done.
And I'm with you too on Tatum and his comments. He certainly wasn't, you know, like heaping praise on Jaylen Brown saying like, I want that guy here and I think everything. No, I think he's got to play this.
He's middle and everything.
Well, this is perfect for his personality because this is where it requires you to middle it. I love our team. I love Jaylen Brown.
I love how you put that. I don't want to get in trouble for anything.
Perfect for his personality. It's so right. True. It's a great point.
But
like, I'm not mad at him. That's exactly what I expected. He's right.
Those guys could be legally married, and the Celtics still might trade Jaylen Brown.
Yes.
And if that's the case, and you want to continue to play here and win, then you better at least have it on record that you're open to the idea of playing with Kevin Durant, because that might happen.
Right.
And he probably knows it.
Yes.
All right.
Do we have our guest ready?
Yeah. I think we do. We're going to talk some more football coming up.
Okay.
After these headlines, 90 seconds, we will welcome in a guest to the program.
We got a show announcement, too. It's a sort of combo.
I would say it's informal.
Soft announcement?
It's like a soft opening.
We're going to test it out.
A soft announcement.
We're going to test it out. See what the people think before we make any real crazy decisions here, you know? No.
All right, we'll do it in a minute.
Here are the headlines.
No commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.